Word Nerds, the answer of the week is back, where we talk about your answers to the question of the week. But before we can get started, Joe Patrick, we need you to tell us what the question of the week was.
This week's question was, what is your favorite comic book future timeline?
This is treading in some pretty deep nerd territory.
Oh, yeah, baby.
I might add. That doesn't get much nerdier than future timelines.
That's right. Alternate futures, even better.
The whole idea of future timeline is kind of an oxymoron because it hasn't happened yet, you know?
But in comics, anything is possible.
It's true. So what are these people saying? Let's start with a tweeter. We got some tweets, right?
We got a tweet.
We got a tweet.
We got two tweets because his answer was longer than 140 characters.
Oh, I see.
Matt Blackshear, welcome aboard, Matt.
Welcome aboard, Matt. It's been a little while since we had new tweeters.
His favorite future timeline is Hulk, Future Imperfect.
Good answer.
The Maestro had a sweet trophy room and the hardest working harem of any future warlord.
Damn.
Ouch. It read more like a heavy metal comic. It blew my mind at 10 years old. And he sent in a photo of Future Hulk, a.k.a. the Maestro. He's pretty scary.
I would say Future Imperfect, probably not appropriate reading for a 10-year-old.
I would tell you what. The Hulk from the past.
It was intense.
Straight up raped.
Yeah.
Because he is immobilized and the Maestro sends in one of his harem girls and Hulk says no and she does not stop.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I know.
Is the Hulk okay?
No. That's traumatic.
So they made him have sex with a beautiful girl?
Rape is not funny, Matt.
What? Time out. He didn't want it? He was like, No, I'm not into it.
Because this was back when Smart Hulk was around and he was married to Betty and... He was like, no,
he was a married
away.
Man.
He couldn't do anything. He couldn't move.
Yeah, but just like camping, it doesn't count in future timelines. Yeah, it's fine. If you're camping, you're in another country or you're in the future, it's also not gay, by the way, I might add.
Wait, so if it had been a dude, it would have been not gay?
Yeah. He's in the future timeline. Well, not only is he not cheating, but it's not gay.
Well, because technically he hasn't been born yet.
Right. All kinds of stuff.
This is all going to get deleted.
Yeah, man, no way.
I apologize.
It stays in.
I apologize. There's nothing to be said.
It's not cheating, foreign country, camping.
Different area code, or is that only in high school?
No, it's only in high school.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, let's move over to the Facebook before we dig ourselves deeper. Stephen Kohler writes in saying, pure story-wise, Days of Future Past is awesome.
That's two votes for Days of Future Past.
That's one
vote for the day.
We have only read two answers.
Yep, you're right. Sorry.
But I also
start
like
that over. So it says
Stephen Kohler says, pure story-wise, Days of Future Past is awesome. But I also like the original Valiant Universe future, how Magnus was actually the son of Chris and Torque, and how Bloodshot was the beginning of the future Rye character. I had no idea. Like, I read Harbinger, and I had no idea that
in the
Valiant future, Chris and Torque from Harbinger are the ancestors of Magnus Robot Fighter.
I didn't know that.
That's rad, though.
Yeah, that's super cool. I had no idea it was so well connected.
I love it. Chris Davis, Legend Comics and Coffee Barista, says, does the Silverhawks future count? No.
No.
If not, as a fan of Scott and Jean, I like when Slim and Red raised Cable. Of course, he's talking about...
The Ascani-Sun?
Ascani-Sun.
Yeah.
Miniseries drawn by Gene Ha in the 90s.
That was some bonkers business.
Cyclops and Jean Grey send their essences or whatever to the future.
Didn't they just actually go? There wasn't their essence.
No, because they were in different bodies. They didn't look like themselves.
But, I thought that they just, like, she was doing something to make them look different, like tricking people's minds or
no,
something.
No, I think it was just, like, their minds, because they were there for, like, 12 years, and then when it was over, they were still their same age.
Huh.
And, yeah, they went, their minds went to the future and inhabited different bodies, and they raised young Cable.
They faxed their mind to the future, because it was the 90s.
Scream!
Sorry, psych. No answer.
I like that one, though. Truett Daughtry says, Gotham City as seen in Batman 666.
Yeah, man. That
Damian
was cool.
Damian made such a scarily awesome Batman.
It was a great issue, too. I loved it.
Mm-hmm. Taylor White.
Welcome aboard, Taylor.
I'm going to say welcome aboard, Taylor. He has posted on the page, but I don't know if he's answered the question.
How's he spell his last name?
W-H-I-T.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I want to see if he's like W-I-G-H-T, like the scary white. Ooh.
He puts in his vote for Batman Beyond.
All right.
Not so much the current ongoing as the animated series.
Okay.
So I'm going to jump ahead and read our other vote for Batman Beyond from...
Get our Batman Beyonders out of the way.
Right. John Boucher wrote in some days later saying, I have to throw in another vote for Batman Beyond simply because of what an interesting character study it is for old man Bruce Wayne. The scene in the pilot where he finds himself having to threaten a man with a gun to defend himself, and then the subsequent look of horror on his face as he realizes that he's no longer fit to be Batman.
Wasn't it sort of like a nod to The Dark Knight Returns? Like, instead of like the Frank Miller portion where he gets beat up and then freaks out and fights back, he's the opposite. He's frail and he's older and stuff. Wasn't that like a direct homage to that scene?
I see. I didn't read it as that.
I think it was.
I didn't view it as that because John is right. I just recently watched the pilot for Batman Beyond. He is old,
right,
and he probably can't defend himself physically.
He's definitely not the same dude that Frank
Miller
was.
But he ends up wrestling a gun away from one of them and ends up brandishing it. And afterwards, he is so horrified that,
yeah,
like, that's it. Batman, he shuts it all down. No more Batman. John says it's way more haunting than I would have expected for a Saturday morning cartoon. I also love the idea that the Joker has become something of a punk rock icon for violent burnouts to emulate. A lot of interesting world building went on in this series, both in creating new characters and mythologies and building on established ones from the past.
Just like the Insane Clown Posse.
No, that was the Batman with Juggalo Joker.
Yeah, he was scary.
This in Batman Beyond, it was just like Joker was like an underground icon,
right. No, there were
Joker gangs. John wraps it up by saying, what they did with Talia blew my mind at the time.
I don't remember.
I am only a few episodes into Batman Beyond. I never watched it.
I did watch it. I don't remember.
I'm curious.
I'm going to have to go back.
He also mentions the final issue of Why the Last Man. I won't get into spoilers because this is a book that everyone deserves a chance to experience for the first time.
Yes.
Suffice it to say that the timeline decision that Vaughn made for that last issue was ballsy, and I don't think anybody knew it was coming.
I didn't see it. I liked it.
Yeah, good answer, John.
Really, really, really good. Good answer.
Yes. There were actually three votes for Batman Beyond. Matthew Owens also wrote in. Sorry we didn't read everybody's individually, but we pooled all you Batman Beyonders together.
Yeah, try harder next time, Matthew.
Just kidding. Steven Firo. Welcome aboard, Steven.
This is great. All new peeps.
He says, Old Man Logan takes it from me. Being a huge Wolverine fan myself, this miniseries was incredible. The plot being most of the superheroes were dead and the U.S. was split into different factions ruled by villains. The fact that Wolverine became a pacifist after killing his superhero friends was emotionally gripping and brought to life perfectly by Steve McNiven's art. I love the direction Mark Miller took this character. That said, drink. This is a classic for me.
I loved it, too.
You know, I sometimes am down on Mark Miller, but I do really
that
enjoy
one,
Old
it was
Man
spaghetti
Logan.
Western future Wolverine, and it was awesome.
Blind Hawkeye driving the spider buggy across America.
The inbred Hulks running around and stuff. It was great.
Gross. Our buddy Matt Lockwood says, anything 2099. He doesn't elaborate.
Anything? Really? Anything?
Ravage 2099.
Yeah, there was some garbage.
Matt Lockwood.
There was some garbage in there. Although I did like Punisher 2099, and I loved Doom 2099, man.
Warren Ellis wrote some of those.
Yeah. I think he wrote all, like, the bulk of it.
Yeah, but not the whole run.
Not the whole run, no.
Andrew Morrison writes in saying, it might not count since it's a past, present, future thing, but I've really enjoyed Old King Thor in the God Butcher storyline.
Excellent choice.
That is a really good choice.
Yeah.
I mean, that is not a timeline I'd want to, like, visit.
Not really. No. It's a rough one.
Brian Bush, who I'm reading, because he's a welcome aboard.
I was going to say welcome aboard, Brian.
He also doesn't elaborate, but he really enjoyed Daredevil End of Days.
Okay. I loved it.
That book is getting a lot of buzz, especially for its conclusion.
It was great. It was fantastic.
Andrew McBride says, I always like the future glimpses where everything works out. Superman and Batman Generations, DC 1 Million. They're a little rare on the Marvel side, but the end of 2099, which was called Manifest Destiny, and the recent issue of Wolverine and the X-Men are good examples. I love that too, Andrew.
Did you just whip Manifest Destiny out, or did he write it?
He wrote it.
Okay. I was going to say, man, you're good at this.
But I knew it.
Of course.
The 2099 America, it gets sunk underwater.
I don't remember. I didn't read it.
Oh, yeah, man.
I didn't read it.
And so, like, the last story of the original 2099 is about them finding a new home for everybody. Yeah.
It's sweet.
Yeah, I know.
They all moved to Mexico or what?
Yeah, Savage Land. They're all over the place.
Oh.
I love the Superman Batman Generations books, and I know I thought I was the only one. Thank you, Andrew.
You're the only one in this room.
Yeah. I loved all of those.
I did not love them.
Oh, I loved them. And I agree. I do like the glimpses of the future where it's like, oh, man, things worked out in the end. I loved that issue of Wolverine and the X-Men with the time capsule. Old Wolverine finds the time capsule they just buried, and he time travels back with a message to his past self. It's good stuff.
I don't think I read
it. So it's like the Jean Grey school 25 years later and things are fine.
Oh, just recently in Wolverine.
Yeah, it was like 2 issues ago.
Okay.
And DC 1 Million.
Yeah.
We are big fans.
Man, I love DC 1 Million.
Yeah. Good answer. The answer I was personally waiting for from our friend Ora McWilliams.
Oh, boy.
He starts out by saying, I feel like you guys are baiting me.
Some Thorcore crap. That's what you're going to whip out, right?
Okay. Here we go. I'm just going to read this word for word, and you guys can make sense of it if you'd like. Of course, the winner is the 31st century Guardians of the Galaxy timeline, which, as we know, includes Killraven. True story. Also, the Fallen Angel spinoff, which was a Marvel UK series called Cyberspace 3000.
Oh, God. No one read that.
Runners up. Dargo's future timeline.
Come on.
Dargo is the Thor of the 26th century, a member of the Thor Corps.
Oh, God.
Earth X Kingdom Come, MC2, which is the future Spider Girl is from.
No. MC2 is what gave us Lil Juggy, as I recall.
J2.
God.
The Jug Man. That Warren Ellis thing, he's trying to think of Ruins, and he did come up with it in the end. Ruins was.
It was sort of a Marvels type project, right?
It was like the anti-Marvels. It was like, this is what happens when the Marvel Universe goes horribly wrong. If I recall, though, it was not like an alternate future. It was a what if. Like, what if all these things went horribly wrong? Whatever, Aura. Dark Knight Returns before the sequel. Yes. That Kid Avengers straight to DVD movie was fun. And because it's fresh in my mind, the 2001 A Space Odyssey comic, which introduced X-51 the Machine Man.
This is true. And in reading that comic book, there is no way in hell that Jack Kirby had any idea what was going on in that movie.
Yeah. Aura wrote back an hour later, throwing in Avengers Forever, which is one of my all-time favorite Avengers stories.
Yes, I love
Kurt Busiek and Carlos Pacheco.
So good.
If you listen to last week's show where I talk about Carlos Pacheco and why I think there's something not quite right with his art,
go back and look at that.
Look at Avengers Forever and tell me that's the same guy.
It was beautiful.
Oh,
it
my
was
God.
Just beautiful.
Aura, I love you. That is exactly what I wanted from you. Keep it up, buddy.
You are a crazy person.
Here's a little something that Aura and I talked about at length when we worked together. Killraven, which was set in the far-flung year of like 2001 or 2010.
Yeah, like 1999.
The Martians invaded. It was like World of Worlds style. The Martians invaded and took over the Earth.
Yes.
And that timeline is what eventually led to the original Guardians of the Galaxy.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know this.
Fun stuff.
I did not know that.
Jim Stafford says, I'm putting a vote out there for Earth X, Universe X, Paradise X. I'm a Marvel fanboy, so I haven't read the DC alternative, Kingdom Come, which I'm sure is very good. But I'm pretty sure this would win it, even if I had. Watching characters you're intimately familiar with being completely pulled apart and rebuilt with a craftsman's approach to continuity and characterization was just a joy.
Earth X, yes. Universe X, not so much. Paradise X? It was bad.
It's both something I can enjoy totally on its own and yet something that could never exist without the 40 years of comics continuity preceding it. Masterful stuff. That is a good answer and probably the best defense of Earth X I've ever read.
I loved Earth X. I loved it. I thought it was so creepy and fun and cool, and they were playing off like ideas that Jack Kirby had seeded in the Marvel Universe that nobody really picked up and ran with. I loved it.
I made it 6 issues into Earth X and stopped.
Man, you should revisit it.
I am an older man now, more mature in my tastes. I would like to revisit it.
Much more mature in your tastes. Definitely. I would say that.
Are you mocking me? I can't
yes,
tell.
I'm okay. Mocking you.
Jim also comes back with a couple more. He says, same goes for Avengers Forever.
Yes.
He does what everybody does, where he says, I'm not sure if it counts. Not sure it's really an alternate timeline so much as an Exiles type Avengers team hopping around existing realities.
No.
It counts.
Counts.
I also want to give a nod to Here Comes Tomorrow, which was a great bookend to the Morrison X-Men run.
Oh, I almost forgot. Yeah, they jumped like 300 years.
Yeah, it was like 150 years ahead or something. You know, I read all of Morrison's run.
I did not like the way that it ended.
I would read it again just to kind of see if I can piece it all together. But
I almost feel like towards the end, and it was violent. If you remember, it was violent. It was just like, well, I'm out of ideas. F- it, we're going to the future. You know.
Well, and this was the storyline that took place after. Well, the storyline where Magneto comes to New York and starts trashing everything, and Wolverine cuts his head off. He kills Jean Grey. Wolverine cuts his head off.
Turns out it was Zorn.
It was Zorn.
And it turns out Zorn is Magneto, or was maybe Magneto's twin.
Or Zorn's brother.
But not Joseph.
No. Listen, Jim, I appreciate that you like it. I do know people that really love Morrison's run. I just had a hard time with it, but maybe it's because I was a bit of a traditionalist. And
prude. It's because you're prude. Oh,
stop it.
Yes.
But I would read it again just for a different take.
Yeah, I need to revisit it because I remember liking it, but I do need to revisit it because I remember it was so wacky.
And I will be the first to admit that it might be that I just didn't get everything he was going for.
Yeah.
Because I'm a dummy.
We did get Quentin Quire and Beak out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what? I love Quentin Quire.
I don't love Beak.
I was a fan of Beak.
Really?
Yeah, I thought Beak was fun.
Whatever.
I mean, I didn't expect him to like actually join the X-Men and save the day.
He
was just a fun.
He joined the X-Men.
Comic relief character.
Save the day.
Whatever. Matt Dainman says, Legion of Superheroes, when done well, the Great Darkness Saga, the 5 years later run, even the cheesy Silver Age auto binder stuff, there's nothing better in comicking. Matt, where did I get the name John?
I don't know.
John is the next name.
Okay.
I couldn't agree more.
Joe Patrick's crying right now. I know you can't see
him. And that's all I'm going to say about it right now.
There's tears in his eyes.
That's all I'm going to say about it right now. Oh, we'll talk about it in a few minutes.
He's going to sing a song about the Legion.
The next one was John Boucher's, which I already read. Buzzy Brown Brennan writes in saying, this is a tough one. I really liked Old Man Logan and Kingdom Come, but I'm going to go with Dark Knight Strikes Again.
What?
What?
Triple B. What?
Badass Green Arrow with a robot arm and batshit crazy Plastic Man were great. And the scene where they gang up on Superman to Batman stands over him saying, I'm done talking. Get out of my cave. Still gives me chills. Not fully on board with the whole Looney Tunes Dick Grayson thing, but overall, a great story. Frank Miller at his best. Listen, Buzzy.
I don't know what to say.
We are going to have a conversation.
Yeah.
Dark Knight Strikes Again felt like an insult.
Yes.
like
you got to realize, Buzzy, and we're not knocking on you. We appreciate your downloads. You see, you're probably a nice guy. You're the only person in the world that liked it. You are alone here, okay? It was terrible. It was terrible. Not to mention that he drew the issue with his feet.
It's so bizarrely drawn, and the coloring is awful.
Oh, God. I hated it. I just hated it.
Buzzy, listen, everyone likes what they like.
Yeah, you're welcome to it.
And if you want to write back in explaining to us exactly why you think it's good, I welcome it.
And this is America. You're perfectly allowed to have a completely wrong opinion. That's fine. It is your right, sir.
Keep it up, buddy. This is good radio. Brian Domingo says, Batman Year 100 by Paul Pope. The greatest cartoonist of his generation doing Batman in 2039. It's perfect.
It was great.
It's got Robin, Jim Gordon, scary bat teeth, and a hard-breathing Batman. All the things you need for a timeless bat story.
He gets his nose broken in like the first few pages. It was great.
He's the one character that can be redone in almost any time period or locale and still work seamlessly. I totally agree with that, Brian.
Couldn't agree more.
Our friend Ryan Forrest writes in, Transmetropolitan.
Good answer.
I think this story was supposed to be about an alternate future. Sadly, it's become all too fortuitous.
Yeah, it's true.
It was one of my early explorations into a quote-unquote adult comic books, and I loved the themes, the characters, and the language. You have to find Batman sitting on a toilet reading a porno mag and punching a bag full of puppies. Is that snuck into the art somewhere? I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah.
Ryan, Transmetropolitan is one of my all-time favorite comic book series.
Excellent stuff.
I reread it almost every year. You know, it never occurred to me that anyone would say that because we were thinking more along the lines of like superhero future timelines, but that is a wonderful answer.
No, it's a great answer. Yeah.
No, yeah.
And one of those stories that definitely still holds up. Totally holds up.
Oh, yeah. And you are absolutely right about it being like
hauntingly, yeah.
Prescient.
Yeah.
Good answer, buddy. happy 40th birthday. Oh, we love you.
Happy birthday tomorrow.
No, his birthday was...
It's tomorrow.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. They celebrated over the weekend.
Yes.
Happy birthday tomorrow.
Happy birthday tomorrow.
Rodney Holmes writes in saying, the timeline that would come out of the Manhattan Projects. The world might not be the better for it, but at least it would be wacky.
I'm predicting that the Manhattan Projects is going to end tragically for all of mankind.
I need to get caught up on the Manhattan Project. Somehow I find myself like 7 issues behind.
It's bonkers.
But that book.
Yeah, it's so good.
It's so crazy.
So good.
I love it. That's a good answer, Rodney. Rodney, we're giving you a welcome aboard, even though I'm about 75% sure we've already done it.
Welcome aboard, Holmes. I love calling people Holmes. I'm bringing that back, by the way.
And finally, James Cassingham Randall. James, welcome aboard.
Sounds like he's of royal descent.
Yeah. He's Australian. James.
So he might be.
We are deeply sorry that Matt Bomb spoiled the ending of Man of Steel for you.
Turns out.
Because the movie is not yet out in Australia.
They were still floating the film across the ocean of Australia. Hasn't come out there yet. And I may have ruined it for some Australian fans. I apologize.
James, you have to understand that we still have no concept of people listening to this show outside of our immediate sphere of influence.
Right. You know, like the fact that you're actually in Australia blows my mind.
In our minds, like the only people that listen to the show are our mothers and our immediate friends.
My mother doesn't even listen to this show.
But she downloads it just to be nice.
I think I set her computer up to do that. Yeah.
Here's James's answer. It's only briefly mentioned, but I really like the sound of the Lex Luthor-centric future shown in the final pages of Superman Red Son. There are necronauts exploring the afterlife, and the relationship status quo has changed from the couple to the triple. Sounds like a cool time. James, that is a deep cut.
Yeah, man.
And that's a good answer.
Yeah.
Necronauts exploring the afterlife.
Oof.
Sounds scary.
Gross.
You know what?
And three ways.
I don't know if he meant that, if he means like it's a relationship triangle between Superman, Lois Lane, and Lex Luthor.
Yeah, I think so. I think I recall it being something like
that. Or if the status quo of everybody changes to like having two partners.
I think she was like kind of with both of them.
In case you couldn't tell, I never finished reading Superman.
Really? I'm shocked.
I read the first two, and then it took forever to come out, and they changed artists, and I was just like, eh.
Yeah, it's been too long, but I'm pretty sure it's how it ended. She was with both of them.
I would like to revisit.
All right, should we move along to our voicemails?
There are so many.
All right. Fun stuff here, guys. We love it when you call us, and if you want to call us, you can reach us at 402-819-4894. Leave us a voice message, just like this person did. I don't know who it is. It's 48 seconds long. Let's see what we've got.
Greetings, Two-Headed Nerd. This is loyal listener Nathan Bradford with my answer to the question of the week. What's your favorite comic book future timeline? Reading through the Facebook posts, I'm surprised no one has mentioned one of the longest-running future timelines, that of 2000 AD. Judge Dredd has been consistently patrolling the streets of Mega City for roughly 35 years now. It may be due to the fact that his three biggest contributions to American pop culture are a really horrible film from the 90s, a lot less horrible film from last year, and a really awesome thrash metal song by Anthrax from the 80s. That might be why he's not getting as big of a notice, but I still think we would be remiss not to mention Judge Dredd.
Excellent. Excellent call. And you know what? I'm so glad he brought up I Am the Law by Anthrax. Love that song. I used to have the giant poster of Judge Dredd on it. It was totally rad. Good answer, though. 2000 AD. And it's funny. He's been doing it for 35 years and still the year 2000. I don't know. Craziness.
Well, is it, though? Is it really still the year 2000?
No,
or is it just the name of the book?
Yeah, it's just the name of the book.
Come on, really, man.
It's just the name of the book.
Get it together.
But yeah, I can't believe nobody brought that up. The whole damn story takes place.
If I recall correctly, Nathan has been trying to get us to read more 2000 AD for about a year now.
He gets excited every time I read it, which is good. Nice. And every time I read it, I like it.
There you go.
Here we go. Let's see what we've got next here. Again, I do not recognize this. Oh, no, Cedar Rapids, Iowa. I think I know who this is.
It's Shauna.
Yeah.
Hey, nerds. It's Shauna here with my question, or my answer to the question of the week. My best favorite, awesomest future timeline, I'm going to have to go with Dan Jurgens when he was writing Thor. I think it was volume 2.
Oh.
Issues like 68 through 79 and everything that built up to that, because Thor had gained the Odin Force and he became Lord of Asgard, and people on Earth thought, oh no, and Tony tried to step in, and it all was leading up to maybe you thinking, oh wow, they're going to beat up Thor, but then they jump 17 years into the future, and Thor's ruling everything, and Loki's his right-hand man, and he's rocking Doctor Strange's Sorcerer Supreme, that cape, and his son doesn't know what's going on. His son is actually the son of him and Thor and Enchantress. It's a great future timeline. It was neat to see Thor kind of sit on his throne and then wake up and make the right changes. But it was an awesome storyline because you didn't know where it was going to go. And then it went into the future, and it just, it was awesome. And then it led into Ragnarok, and then everything ended. And anyway, but that would be my favorite future. I was thinking, you know, I had a lot of options there, but that's the one that resonated the most with me. Great question. I thought it was a easy one this week, but really it was a hard one. So hopefully Google let me talk a lot, but it probably cut me off about 13 seconds ago, or 21, or 15. Keep it up, guys. Peace.
Got the whole thing. Got the whole damn thing this week. I never read the Dan Jurgens Thor.
I've read parts of it. I got behind on that and I never finished it up. But they were going. Dan Jurgens was going in some really interesting places with Thor. Oh, haha! This is the genesis of our years long back and forth argument about how come nobody makes reference to what's going on in this book and any other Marvel book. Because it all started with Thor dropping Asgard into the skies over New York City.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And you came to me and you were like, how come nobody else is mentioning that Asgard's above New York?
Daredevil doesn't look up and go, what the hell is that?
Because, Matt Bomb, everyone has their own shit to do. They'll get around to it. Calm down. It's a comic book.
I get it.
And then it culminated with the Thor, like, Lord of Earth storyline. And, yeah. That is a good answer, Sean. I sometimes forget about that. Dan Jurgens' run on Thor is really underrated.
Who drew it? Somebody I really liked.
A lot of people drew it around that time. Scott Eaton drew a bunch of it.
That's not who I'm thinking of.
I don't really know. I know John Romita Jr. drew it at first.
Maybe that's what I was thinking of.
He drew like the first 25 issues or so.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And then Scott Eaton drew a bunch of it. And after that, it was kind of a lot of rotating artists, but I don't remember exactly.
Huh. Moving right along. This one came in from New York City just mere moments ago.
New York City!
Get a rope.
Yo, Patrick. Matt Baum, I'm going to answer it. I've got 4 minutes before your deadline. And if I'm not mistaken, the question of the week is, what is my favorite future timeline in comics? Well, it's the original one for me, because being a new mutant, you understand that it's only the very first time that they ever took me into the future and made me wonder what on earth is going to possibly happen by the time I'm, well, I guess 30, reading the comics, because I was reading this off the spinner rack when I was, what was I, 18, possibly I was maybe even 16, reading this thing. Days of Future Past, man. It's the thing that spawned all the other comics, and they're all future dystopian timelines. When Chris Claremont and John Byrne broke it down for us and said, this is what it's going to look like in the Marvel Universe in the future. Bam! Wolverine gets fried. Zorch! Storm gets skewered. Stomp! Colossus gets, well, we don't even see what Colossus gets. That's my future storyline that I prefer. The very first one, at least to these sensitive reading eyes. Two-headed nerds, love ya. Take care. Bye.
I loved that call.
I love that guy.
I loved every second of that call.
His name is Alan White. I know his name now.
That's great.
It was an important moment between us.
Okay, was Days of the Future Past like really the first one? Was it?
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there was something before then, but it's like,
well,
the first.
I mean, Legion of Superheroes was from the 50s.
Yeah, I suppose.
No, there's no supposing. It's a fact. Yeah, well, it's history now.
I mean, sure.
But it might be the first. It may be one of the first times in Marvel Comics where, you know, somebody came out and said, guess what? The future sucks.
Yeah.
And all these characters that you love are murdered. And I, yeah, give it all the credit for that, because nobody was expecting, well, you know what, back then Wolverine wasn't like Wolverine as we know him today.
Well, I mean, he was still...
He was popular, yeah, but Wolverine...
He was still Macho Man. He was selling Marvel Comics.
No, certainly. But listen, this was only like 4 years after Wolverine first appeared.
I know.
And so he wasn't like, put him in six books.
Right, so killing Wolverine. Him... So you're saying killing him may not have been that huge of a deal.
Right, okay. But I mean, I give him credit for like, it's right there on the cover. Wolverine gets fried.
Yeah.
Zorch.
No, that was Storm. He
Storm.
Said, impaled, well, which no. is an odd choice for no, impalement. I think
Wolverine got fried. Zorch. Storm no. gets skewered.
No.
You don't Zorch when you get skewered.
I know, but that's what he said.
Alan.
He's like, boom, Wolverine gets fried. Zorch. Storm gets...
I guess you're right.
You know, maybe he's like, Florch.
We need to work on your sound effects.
Splurch. Joe Patrick, should we get your Legion of the Superheroes answer out of the way? Let's get it out of the way. Joe Patrick, what's your favorite future timeline?
You're a real asshole. You know that? My favorite future timeline is the Legion of Superheroes timeline.
Really?
Yeah. 1,000 years in the future of the DC Universe.
No kidding.
It's true.
That's weird.
Here is a world, a universe where many planets have united to form like a larger society. You've got like the great melting pot is much, much more melty. You've got aliens. You've got weird dudes. You've got intergalactic politics. And it's a world where, at least at the time, there were no other heroes. Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman, they're gone. There are no Green Lanterns. And three young travelers rescue RJ Brand, the richest man in the galaxy, from an assassination attempt, and he bands them together to form the Legion of Superheroes, and it grows into this like huge organization that protects the United Planets. I love it. It's all about like, I don't know what it's all about. I just love it.
It's all about superheroes saving the universe.
Yeah, but it's more than that. There's a lot of like themes about it's kind of like Star Trek in the sense that there are a lot of themes of like inclusion and
right.
interacting with other cultures and
right.
harmonious, you know, balance.
But there's also like themes of racism and themes,
yeah, yeah.
Like, you know.
There are some dark parts of the Legion history where, you know, certain editors at the time got questioned, you know, how come there are no black people in the future?
They didn't make it.
And then I'm going to be generous and say some well-meaning editor
right.
came up with the idea. It's like, or the writer rather came up with the idea that all the black people live on an island that they chose to go live on voluntarily. It just so happens that it goes out of phase with the earth for like 100 years at a time.
I can't remember who the comedian was. He was talking about how there was no Hispanic dudes in Star Wars. He was like, "This is a black dude. You know, there's like midgets running around. He's like, not a single Hispanic." He's like, okay, I take it back. There was one. His name was Chewie, and he was retarded. It was great.
But yeah, I love the Legion of Superheroes. So many cool things have been done with them. They have gone through so many interesting iterations. As somebody mentioned earlier, they did a thing where they jumped 5 years and all of a sudden they were all adults and the book became more about the, like the socio-political aspect
yeah.
of the world they lived in. You know, it's been rebooted and just thrown around by continuity every time there's a world shattering event.
Oh yeah.
Yet it clings on.
Like right now they have no reason why they're even together.
It's true. and now it's coming to an end, which is sad, but I haven't been reading it because it hasn't been the greatest, but yeah, I love the Legion of Superheroes. I also want to give a quick shout out to 2099. I love that stuff.
Yeah, it was fun.
Peter David wrote Spider-Man 2099.
And they were wonderful.
For the entire run. That book is really good.
Wonderful stuff.
So, yeah. Matt, what do you got?
I have two answers.
Okay.
For most creative, in my opinion. Like the one where I'm just like, man, that is a messed up, crazy future. I'm going with the Prophet relaunch. I love that Prophet book at Image. Brandon Graham and Simon Roy was the artist. Relaunched
yeah.
Prophet, and which basically saw him waking up almost a million years like after he was supposed to on a completely foreign Earth. And it is so, psychedelic and bizarre and gross. And one thing I love is gross sci-fi. Love it.
Ew.
Yeah, I love it. Now, favorite, I think just like all around favorite that I remember like growing up and reading, and I don't know if this counts as a future timeline or not. I'm going to throw it out there. Age of Apocalypse.
No, Age of Apocalypse was the present.
Was it the present?
Yeah, it was like the present got altered. Yeah. It was an alternate timeline, but it was not set in the future.
See, I thought they leapt into the future.
No, sir.
A little bit.
No.
A little while.
No.
Like 20 minutes.
What happened was Legion, Professor X's son, went back in time.
I remember that.
And killed his own father, right. Which means...
Oh, and it just completely changed the...
It changed present. The course of history, which means like flash forward to the present moment.
Okay.
And the world is totally different. Apocalypse is in charge, blah, blah, blah.
Okay. Then I'm going to go with Scud the Disposable Assassin.
Was that in the future?
Yes. Took place in the future. And in the future, when you want to kill somebody, you don't want to get in trouble, you put some money in a machine and a robot does it for you. And after they kill their target, they've got a big like sticker on their back that says, warning, this unit will self-destruct after completion of its mission.
Mm-hmm.
So they kill whoever you're trying to kill and then they die. And in like the third or fourth issue of Scud, when he finally catches up to the person he's supposed to kill, who is Ben Franklin, by the way. He's a crazy person. He catches like a glimpse in the mirror of what's on his back and reads it and is like, whoa, hold on. Like, it is so wild and ridiculous and bizarre and fun. Absolutely loved it. Those are my two favorite future timelines.
I'm sure I could list a bunch of them, but, right now...
I consider roll off time. I really loved the Hickman issue of Fantastic Four, where he showed Reed traveling into the future to see what happens to Ben.
Thing, yeah.
Oh, it was so good.
Yeah, that's pretty
good. It was so good. Like, Ben grew a big rock beard.
Yeah.
Like, and lived thousands of years. Because it turned out he, like, wasn't aging. The only time he aged is when
was
he turned back.
That week when he turned human.
Yeah.
Or that day. Was it a week or a day? I think it's just a day.
I think it was a week. I think he had 1 week a year.
Well, regardless, it's not very much time.
No.
I mean, there are so many great ones. Kingdom Come, of course, is great.
Of course.
And for a long time, DC was angling to make Kingdom Come. Like, they were never going to get to it.
No.
Because you will never see those characters age and
no
get replaced. But they were angling to have Kingdom Come be their quote-unquote official future. And I love that. I love it.
It was great. Yeah.
And DC 1 Million, we are huge fans of DC 1 Million.
Yeah.
And,
super fun question this week, guys.
Yeah.
As always, we love your responses. We love your calls. Please, 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 please call us. And like I said, if you want to hit us, you can reach us at 402-819-4894. Or you can look up our username on Skype, Two-Headed Nerd, for all our international peeps who I keep ruining movies for. Thanks again for your answers, guys, and we will see you this weekend on another exciting episode of the Two-Headed Nerd Comic Cast. I will not be here.
Are you going to spoil that? You're going to ruin the surprise?
I don't think it's really a surprise. Dave DeMarco is going to be sitting here because I'm going up to Minneapolis for the weekend. My wife's taking me there. It was my birthday this week.
Happy birthday, jerk.
There you go. I was waiting for you to say happy birthday, you jerk.
How many times have I already wished you happy birthday this week?
Maybe twice. That is not enough. We'll see you guys next time.